I love going out on the road. I love performing. This is what I was born to do. And even more than that, I know it's a calling.
And the morning we went in to deliver the twins is when they discovered that our son Aiden's heartbeat had stopped.
In that doubt, sometimes those thoughts aren't my own thoughts. Those are placed, you know, there to stop you from achieving what you can achieve.
Hello and welcome to Latter Day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard. We're here at the LDS Motion Picture Studio in Provo, Utah. And joining me today is Johnny Hanna. John, welcome. Good to
hey,
see you.
Good to see you.
Johnny is a product of BYU Idaho, as we're proud of him. One of the first graduates, really, when we became BYU Idaho back in 2003. And since then, as an entrepreneur, is the CEO and founder of Homey, which people here in the Utah area will recognize. We'll talk a little bit about what that is for people who may be out of the area. Johnny, it's good to have you here. Let's talk a little bit about your background. Where are you from originally, Johnny?
I grew up in Pueblo, Colorado.
Okay.
And my dad moved us to Billings, Montana, where missionaries knocked on our door. And that kind of set my path to BYU Idaho and now to Utah.
Wow. So, you know, at BYU Idaho, that was an interesting time, probably. It was for me as an instructor, because we went from Ricks College to BYU Idaho, and especially to be the first group. You were kind of the guinea pig, so it seems that you turned out well, so it's good. What was that experience like for you as that transition?
Yeah, I think we used the guinea pig as an excuse to not get as much homework. You know, we pushed back on professors saying, hey, you're too hard on us, but it was awesome. I loved it, and the class that we had, I'm still really close to so many people I graduated with, so it was just a tight group of people, and I love being part of that transition.
You know, I mentioned Homey. Let's give people just a brief synopsis, and we can talk more deeper later, but give people an idea. What is Homey? What's the company? What does it do?
So Homey is a real estate software company. We have a whole real estate brokerage of realtors. We have a mortgage brokerage of loan officers to help you get a loan, refinance. We're a title company, so we help you do the closings. We're a home insurance company, so we've built really a one-stop shop. And the goal was to reduce commissions, reduce the cost, so homeownership could be more affordable and more accessible for everybody, and just a simpler process overall.
Well, wasn't your first venture out of college, but you jumped right into entrepreneurship, right? Did you ever have a goal to go work for somebody else, or was this something you thought, I'm going to strike out on my own?
You know, Elder Bednar was our school president at the time, and he just said, you know, you're here to learn how to learn. And that was really my focus. I didn't have a career path or like something I specifically wanted to do. I didn't think I only wanted to work for myself. And I just had a friend, my last semester of school, that invited me to be part of a business plan. And that business plan ended up winning the BYU business plan competition. And so as soon as I graduated, I just went and helped get that off the ground, and that set me on the path in real estate software.
And that was a company in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
So how did that come about? You know, he invited you to come, and it's like, okay, let's do it. You know, got to raise money, all that kind of stuff. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was brand new. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know the talents that I had, and come to find out, there were things that I learned that were so specific to what I took to Entrada. For example, Brother Bell was one of my business professors there at BYU Idaho, and he taught me about pay-per-click and getting boosting website traffic and search engine optimization. And so when I was given this project to do research on for this business plan, I got a group of students together, and we surveyed hundreds of apartment communities throughout the nation. And every single property manager that I called, they said they did not have an online payment system to collect rent online. They didn't have a website so that people could lease apartments online. And those were two of the tools that we thought were missing from the market. So as we did that research at BYU Idaho, you know, and submitted that to this business plan competition, we won at BYU. They gave us $50,000 in cash and prizes. And then we just kept winning business plan competitions, really. We had a few professors from BYU put money into our business. And from there, we started getting clients that gave us a shot, trusted us. I went back up to Rexburg and tried to sell a few of the apartment owners up there as well. And they signed up. We built websites. We started collecting rent online. And then it just expanded nationwide really quickly. Right. And so we technically bootstrapped the company. We never raised from any institutional venture capitalist, but it was the whole thing was an adventure, and it's still going well. Still have a ton of great friends that work there.
Yeah, you know, what's that like, you know, kind of starting from scratch, and then it grows to lots of employees. How do you, you know, set the culture, kind of decide how that's going to be? Because I think it's one of the biggest challenges, right? As you grow, it can, you know, get out of control, I guess, or you're not in control of the culture anymore. How do you try and figure that out?
Yeah, that was a learning experience too. I'd say the first 7 years of our company at Entrata, we didn't have a strategy around a culture. So we had a culture that just existed. But as we started recognizing what it was and, you know, different people we'd hire that would pull us in a different direction, we really wanted to have a better strategy. So we got a group of people together in the company to really diagnose what our strengths were as a company and to build a value set around those strengths and to diagnose what our weaknesses were and then to build a value set around those weaknesses so that we could strive to get better in those areas. And that strategy, I believe, helped us just really create an amazing environment to where, you know, when Sunday night came around, you know, you weren't dreading going to work, you know?
That's a nice feeling, yeah.
And I think it became a great place to work because it became a focus and we had a specific strategy around it.
Sounds like, yeah, if somebody's thinking of starting a business, that's probably something you'd recommend, right? Is think about that right up front instead of letting it evolve wherever it may.
Yeah, I mean, at Homey, that was the first thing. When I talked to my new co-founders, I said, look, I know what not to do, and it let's do a culture from the onset. Let's have strategy around it and decide who we want to be, what type of decisions we want to make ahead of, you know, having to make really hard decisions. We knew this is who we're going to be and base those decisions off those values.
So you took a leap, you know, you're doing an Entrata and it's working well, but you decided to take a leap and do a new venture with Homey. How did that come about? Was it just a one day thing or over time? You just kind of had an inkling, I need to do something different.
You know, it was kind of a one day thing. Mm-hmm. I told my wife in the middle of December in 2014, I just said, I think it's time. Mm-hmm. It's time for me to do something new. It had been 11 years. And that night I felt so much pressure to move on. And so I slept on it, woke up, I felt the same. And I thought, I felt a prompting to tell my partners and I didn't follow it. And then that next night I felt even stronger. So the next day I told my partners, I said, hey, I think it's time for me to go and do something new. And the company was a rocket ship. We were just approaching 100 million in recurring revenue. Everything was going really well. They thought I was crazy and I thought I was crazy. You know, but yeah, it really was like an instant. And so we all, you know, agreed to kind of create a transition plan for me. And I left a couple months later and I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew that I needed to leave. And then my last day of work, it was my partners threw me a going away party. In that last day of work, a guy by the name of Mike Peregrina showed up at my office with this idea to disrupt the real estate industry for buying and selling homes and asked if I wanted to partner with him. So, you know, that was a wild experience, you know, having that prompting and then not knowing what I was going to do and then having somebody out of the blue introduce me to my next company.
Wow.
So
did it sound like, was it like love at first sight? It's like, yeah, this is the thing. Or did you have some trepidation with that idea?
Well, I had called everybody my homies from day one. I grew up in Pueblo, Colorado. I have a ton of homies back there. So when I heard the name that he thought of naming the company, I said, I'm in. You know, my wife didn't feel the same. She didn't like the name at all. It's grown on her to where she has today. But it was my last day. So I really liked the idea, but I wanted time. So I looked around and I evaluated a bunch of different opportunities that had come up and other ideas that I had. But I kept feeling like that was the thing for me until I eventually decided to help start that company about 2 months later.
You know, I was thinking as you're going through this process, I think you met your wife, Paige, right? While you're already in on Entrata. So that's already
right.
Up and going. So how did you feel about this to transition? Did you feel the same? Was she nervous about it? I mean, was this a joint venture? How'd she feel about it?
Yeah, she knew the amount of effort and time I put into Entrata. And we had a lot of conversations around, you know, balance with family. And the one thing she asked, she was just curious and said, you know, are you going to have to sacrifice me and the kids to start this new business? And I didn't answer that right away. You know, I wanted to really think about it. And I think part of creating our culture and our strategy around our culture was to create a value of balance and have that as a focus. And so I committed to her that would be the case. And I let her know, of course, there's going to be ebbs and flows with business. Some nights I'm going to have to work late to hit a certain deadline or accomplish, you know, some goal that we have, but that I wouldn't miss, you know, my kids' events or any significant dates. And I think that's become a part of our culture at the company too, in trying to hire people smarter than us to where you can delegate. You don't have to do all the work. You don't have to stay up and just crank every night. And it's not that hustle culture that a lot of people worship, mm-hmm. and, you know, and pat each other on the back. Like I did all these late nights, you know, and that's not something cool at our company. And I'm grateful for my partners for agreeing to that, mm-hmm. so that I could keep that commitment.
Mm-hmm. That's great. By the way, eight kids?
Eight.
Eight kids. And what are the age ranges?
Our oldest is 13 and our youngest is 8 months. Yeah.
Sorry to put you on the spot. When you say ages and then if you get it wrong, you're in big trouble.
No, I'm good. I get that question often. So,
well, you know, I've read some articles and that's one of the things that you're complimented on is being very family friendly and putting your family first. How was that received in the community, you know, especially here in the, you know, Utah Valley area? Man, you know, businesses are going gangbusters, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of different philosophies. You know, some are like, you know, man, we put every amenity in the business so you can stay here 24/7. How is it received and what do people think about, you know, your philosophy of your business?
You know, I think everybody within our company agrees with the philosophy, and even agreeing to it, it's still hard. And I've made decisions even having committed to that, like, that I'm like, oh, I'm not living the value of balance. And I've had people internally call me out. My partners have called me out. My wife's called me out, you know, and to kind of help correct me back to trying to live that value. So I think everybody wants it. I think there are competing voices and competing philosophies that come in on occasion, but I don't think I've ever talked to one CEO, one entrepreneur that doesn't want to have balance with their family. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, the glory of having some huge exit or selling for, you know, multi-millions or raising a ton of cash, like that's, you get so much publicity and press for that. It's hard to not have that as a distraction. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that it's a well-received value, and I think we've attracted people to work for us for that reason. But real estate is a 24/7 business, and especially in this climate, when offers are coming in, you have to respond quickly. And so, you know, we're still trying to figure out what balance looks like for all of our realtors.
Yeah, and that would be tough. Real estate, man, in the culture we're at right now, you better respond within a few minutes or somebody else is going to buy that.
That's right.
Or sell it. Tell us about, you know, starting this up then. You got with your partners, decided, okay, we're going to do this. Started from scratch. How many employees? Just you and, you know, partner? How did that start?
Yeah, I had a few co-founders. I mentioned Mike Peregrina. Mike Trionfo is another one of my co-founders. He came from Entrada with me as well. He was one of the co-founders there. And yeah, we just started asking people, hey, let us sell your home. You know, give us a shot. And we had a few people that started to trickle in and say, yeah, you know, I'll give you a shot. And we had attorneys to help review contracts. We did things a little differently. We wanted to disrupt the whole industry. And I think we were a little prideful in how we went about it. We wanted nothing to do with the existing industry, but there were a lot of really good things that we should have done from the beginning. But instead of being a real estate brokerage, we were just a tech company with lawyers that were our support staff. So we went down that path, and as we gained a little bit of traction, we went out to the market to raise money. We had some venture capitalists that gave us some money. They trusted us and said, yeah, go make this happen. Nobody's ever changed this industry and really done what you're planning on doing. And from there, we've just continued to raise money, continue to expand outside of Utah. We're now in 5 states, and we added new business lines. You know, we were just the real estate brokerage. We've added the mortgage company, title, all these other things that I mentioned. And eventually we'd like to become a home ownership as a service company, to where all the different things you have to do at your house, you know, changing out the air filters, you know, hiring electricians, landscapers, all the things that you typically go to Facebook, like, hey, does anybody have a great plumber? We just want to have a one-stop shop solution.
How big is your company now? How many employees are you talking
about? We're a little over 400 right now, and we're in 5 states. Idaho, got back there. We've done a few transactions there in Rexburg, and Colorado, Nevada, and Arizona.
you know, that's interesting as you grow. And again, the culture thing's so interesting, going from 0 to 400, man, that's going to be a challenge, you know, the growth pains and all that kind of stuff. And especially there's areas, obviously you can't be an expert in everything. So this is a matter of trust, as you said, hire smart people and make sure that they handle it well, especially you can't be an expert on everything in real estate, right?
Yeah. I think that phrase, learn how to learn, you know, that stuck with me quite a bit there. Yeah. I'm not an expert really in anything. I maybe in trusting others and in finding people who are experts in their field. But yeah, I was listening to a talk this morning by Lauren Dalton. He just spoke at Ensign College, and he talked about, you know, the competing voices over some of these challenges that we have of, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not an expert in this area. And it was really fascinating just to think about, because when I am faced with that challenge, a lot of times I'll hear a negative voice saying, you can't do that. You know, you can't accomplish that. And I think even coming out of BYU Idaho, I thought, well, I'm not the top student at this school. How can I build a huge company? And that doubt, you know, that sometimes those thoughts aren't my own thoughts. Those are placed, you know, there to stop you from achieving what you can achieve. So I think we focus a lot on the promptings from the spirit, but there's also promptings from the adversary that stop you and pull you back. But I have loved finding people that do have answers. And when I have doubts or questions, I can go to them, and I've recognized, you know, I'm not alone. I have so much support, and I have a really good team because of that.
You know, I remember at some point in my life, the thought of owning a company sounded good. And the thing that I really liked about the idea of it was that you could bless so many people's lives, all the employees kind of thing. But it also comes with a lot of responsibility, because now it kind of falls back on you. How do you manage that? Both it's satisfying, but also stressful, knowing that, you know, these 400 employees are counting on us, continue to go and to grow and you know, the drill.
Yeah, it is a drill. And I think just managing, you know, again, all of those thoughts, it's difficult. And at times where I have taken on that responsibility and thought, you know, if I don't do this, I'm going to fail. And that means, you know, these people aren't going to be able to pay their bills. And that means, and just continually going down that cycle mentally can be challenging, and you can spiral into a depression, you know, and I've been there. I've had some struggles in that regard, but pulling myself out, recognizing, you know, this isn't all on me, and I have partners, and I can go to them, and I can go to others and share my concerns. And I have with our employees too. I've let everybody know, look, I'm stressed right now, you know, and here's what I'm thinking. You know, I'm trying to look really good in front of you guys. I want to be buttoned up. I want to have all the answers, and I don't, you know. And when I've been vulnerable and opened up, I've been even more well received. And I felt like this warmth of love from all of our people supporting me. And that's where it's been amazing. Like, those challenges will come. But I think if you're vulnerable to your own weaknesses and your own struggles, which we all have, people are good, and they'll step up and they'll step by you. And one of our values is loyalty. It's homies got your back, you know, like that's a common phrase that we say it all the time. And I feel like so many people have my back, and I just feel supported.
Yeah, that's awesome. You and your wife and your family have some social media presence, startup family. I've watched some of your vids and things like that. What was your decision to, you know, kind of share? Because, you know, I think that part of it, you talk about vulnerability and sharing like that is, you know, both can be very satisfying, but also, you know, you open yourself up to other people seeing your life. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, neither of us wanted to do a YouTube channel, and we still don't. So, but it's another one of those promptings that we just felt like this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share our family. And it hasn't been anything we've consistently done. You know, we're not professional YouTubers, but we've put ourselves out there. We've shared some lessons that we've learned, and we're hoping to help other young couples. Like, as we think of some of these lessons, we're like, man, if somebody would have taught that to us when we were young parents, that would have been amazing. So that's been part of the drive. But my wife's been really inspired around family history, and our startup family really focuses on who you are and where you come from, where you started up. So it's not necessarily the startup of a business. And we've done a lot of family history trips with others, We've done family history trips ourselves with our own families, and they've been life-changing, really recognizing who you are, why you are the way that you are, what things you need to overcome and fix and heal from that others maybe needed to heal from. You know, it's really been a turning your heart to the Father's type of adventure for us. And I've been impressed by my wife with all of her inspiration around it. So yeah, more to come on that. And we're hoping for more consistency too.
You know, in a household with eight kids, I grew up in a family, I'm the youngest of 10. And I know it can be fairly chaotic, mm-hmm. right? You know, what's it like at the family home? And you know, obviously it's fun to have that many kids, but also it's a balance, right? Trying to get everything done that needs to be done. How's family life with you?
You know, we have help. My wife's young women's leader is our nanny. And so they've had that relationship since she was little. And I was just telling her this morning, I'm like, man, my favorite thing is chasing little 2-year-olds. And so I've been able to get to do that every now and again. But, as they get older, you know, I've just loved it as well. And yeah, I think like the work balance that we try to have, it's a challenge for everybody, but you know, every night we try to do a date night for each kid. Mm. So one kid gets to stay up past bedtime and they get to be with me and mom. In the summer, it's a little bit more challenging where bedtimes get later and my wife and I want to go to bed earlier. But yeah, I've been able to do story time. And last night I had all of them cuddled up around me, you know, and just asking questions about the mission. That's been the topic over the last couple weeks. Mm. Like, tell us about your mission. So I've just told them all about the MTC, how much I love the buffets, how much everybody else hated those, you know, but like we went through a lot of the details there that were just kind of fun. And they're little curious kids. And because they're all close in age, they're really good friends. And I'm impressed with who they are. And yeah, I love it. But I think 8 is the number. So
eight is great.
8 is great.
Yeah, you know, the 8th one always appreciates it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you that I'm part of the family. What's the future? What do you see? You know, the housing market is really interesting, but as far as you and your future, with that entrepreneurial kind of spirit, what do you see coming up, you know, down the line?
You know, I really have no clue. I have no idea. And I feel like as soon as I graduated, I didn't know what I wanted to do, who I wanted to become, you know, in terms of a profession. And I still feel that. Like, I don't know what the future holds. And I feel like I try to create strong relationships with others. And those have blessed my life. Like, that first business in Trotta, that wasn't my idea. Homie wasn't my idea. But I had good relationships. And I was invited to help start those companies. And I believe we're all naturally creators. So I can't see ever sitting still and not wanting to build, not wanting to, you know, influence others and continue to learn and grow and develop myself mentally, spiritually, emotionally, everything. So yeah, still not quite sure what the future looks like, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot more travel with the kids as they're getting older with sports. Mm-hmm. So that's going to take up more of my time in my life. So everyone tells me.
That is true. They speak truth. Yeah, very busy. Well, Johnny, I wish you all the best with your company, with your family. It's been a pleasure to talk with you and proud of you back at BYU Idaho. You're one of our alums. So it's a pleasure to see you succeed. So Johnny, thank you so much.
Thank you.